This episode was sponsored by Critical Dice and the Endless Bag of Dice. Welcome to The Compendium, a resource designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.
Outside of your subclasses, there is also an additional way that you can that you can add some spice to your character's life, I guess you could say. And we have been teasing it in many episodes because it's a very popular option, which is multi-classing.
Maybe we should just wait until next week to do multi-classing.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Hold it. A teaser again.
I'm kidding. Okay, so multi-classing is the other big optional rule along with feats. In fact, they're both in Chapter 6 of the Player's Handbook. They're kind of put together, which is really smart. So multi-classing is basically a chance for you to change directions, to take a hard right turn for your character's narrative and choose to be something else. And so let's say that you have been a fighter this whole time and you're about to level up to level 5 and you go, you know what? I'm going to change my mind. I want to be a barbarian now, which would make sense because you've been like, you know, yelling and screaming as you go into battle and you're just like, rah. And you're like, yeah, I feel like he's kind of being more like, you know, in touch with his emotions and rage. He's a very emotional fighter. Let's go that direction. Great. So what that means is that when you go up to level 5, what you're doing instead is you're choosing to be a level 4 fighter, all the previous experience, plus now you're also a level 1 barbarian.
Making you a level 5 character.
Exactly. Which we have teased before because we had to explain that. But yeah, so your overall character level is the combination of all of the classes you have. Even if all the classes you have is just one, that's fine. So what happens is that you don't lose any of the previous stuff that you did. You just now are gaining some additional abilities and features by adding another class into your character's portfolio, as it were. Mm-hmm. So what happens here is this, is that one, there are multi-classing prerequisites. And there's a little chart there at the beginning of Chapter 6 that tells you, you know, to be a barbarian, you have to have at least a strength of 13. To be a wizard, you have to have an intelligence of 13 and so on. And as long as you meet that requirement and your DM is cool with this, then you can go ahead and pick a new class. Now, there's a couple other kind of things that get a little complicated when it comes to experience points. Again, you default back to your character level to figure out how much XP you need to go to the next level. So you're still on the same progression chart, even though you've chosen to mix it up and have two different classes you're playing.
Yeah. And so for like example, if you were a level 3 fighter and you were wanting to go to barbarian, you wouldn't need that first kind of level jump is 300 XP. You wouldn't just need 300 XP to go into a barbarian because you're going into a level 1 barbarian. You would need enough XP to level up to your next level. So it's not necessarily, you don't do them side by side. It continues to be cumulative.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a great way to put it. And then when it comes to hit points and hit dice, when you take that for using our example, that fifth level and you chose to make it barbarian, that level, you're going to roll the D12 for your hit dice. But now you've got some hit dice that are D12s and some hit dice that are D10s. You need to keep them separated, like the song says, and know which ones you're rolling when you take a short rest to gain back hit points and stuff. But a lot of times, like say a paladin and a fighter, they both use D10. Don't worry about it. They're all the same. They mix in all together, all fun. And so then, yeah.
With the hit dice, what would you do when you are doing your HP roll? If you have two different dice, which one would you roll?
When you're trying to gain back hit points during a short rest, or when you're gaining
when you're leveling up?
When you're leveling up, whatever the hit die is for the character, for the class you're now choosing.
Okay.
Right. So if at level 5, you're like, you know what? I'm not going to go the fighter path. I'm going to go to barbarian. For that level, you would roll the barbarian hit dice.
Okay.
Yeah. And then again, proficiency bonus also based on your class, on your character level, not your class level. So you still progress the same speed as everybody else, even though you've diversified. And now here's the cool thing is that with multi-classing, when I gain that level in barbarian, I don't get everything that I get when I become a level one barbarian starting from scratch. I only get some things from this new class. And there's a chart on the next page that tells you exactly what you get. You gain, like for barbarians, you gain proficiencies to shield, simple weapons, and martial weapons, which is, you know, if you're coming from fighter, big deal. But hey, if you came in, you're coming from rogue, that's way different. You get a lot of really cool things. Then it gives you the whole thing there. Now, it also gives you access to everything else you get at level one. And so if barbarians have access to rage at level one, guess what? You can now rage. If you have access to, you know, three cantrips and two first level spells, you gain access to those things as well. It just proficiencies are pared down a little bit when you take the multi-class option to gain this new class.
Yeah, and it specifies them on page 164, right in that same section we are, but there are a couple of caveats to that where there's a few things that if your character already possesses it, you don't get it again. So one of them is an extra attack. If your class already gives you an extra attack, you don't get an extra attack.
Right.
It just kind of
XL. Yeah.
Yeah. It just kind of gets nullified. So it's just a couple. I think it's only like three of them that are in there that have those caveats, but just take a look at that too.
Exactly. Yeah. Like channel divinity, extra attack. It all leaves it out there. Now here's where it gets really kind of wild with multiclassing is when it comes to spell slots.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
I know this, and I have it open here in front of me, and that's good because as much as I've played this game, this one I always have to go back and look at every time I multi-class, which I do a lot because, as we've established, I like versatility. So what happens is that the nice thing is that you don't have to keep your spell slots separate. Okay? So if you say you were a wizard and then you became a sorcerer, and you already have your whole, you know, spell slot table from your wizard, class, you have all of those, and then you also gain additional spell slots from the sorcerer at first level. So that's fine. And you gain the new spells and things, and you can use any of the spell slots you have for your sorcerer spells or for your wizard spells. You don't have to, you know, determine which ones are for who, which is really nice because now you have access to cast a ton of new magic. Where it gets weird is when you have these classes that are not full caster classes, okay? So basically it's this, is that you determine what spells you know and can prepare for each class individually. And so if you're a fourth level ranger and a third level wizard, then great. You know your first level ranger spells and you know your third level wizard spells. But where it gets weird is this, is with the spell slots. When you have these half casters, okay? So a bard, a cleric, a druid, a sorcerer, and a wizard, they're all full casters. Their primary way of adventuring is with spells. But things like the paladin and the ranger, those are considered like half spell casting classes. They have a lot of martial ability and only kind of rely on their spells. And interestingly enough, paladins and rangers, they don't get access to cantrips. So in those cases, you only get half of the spell slots available to those classes when you add them as a multi-class, right? So if the paladin only has two first level spell slots at that level, you would only get one spell slot. And then it gets even further weird if that you've done a fighter who's an Eldritch Knight or a rogue who's an Arcane Trickster, both martial subclasses that get spell casting, there is a third rounded down for that.
Of course there is.
Right. So that's where it gets really tricky. And so maybe just don't multi-class into those things.
That's easiest solution. If you don't like math, well, one, if you don't like math, you shouldn't be playing this game.
I challenge that. No, come on. But yeah, maybe just be strategic about it, or just let something like D&D Beyond do it for you, for heaven's sakes, please, for the love of Paylor. So yeah, That's what you do. And also think about it too, like, you know, where you want to start. If you know you want to multi-class because you have this cool combo in your head that you want to do, think about which class is going to give you the most oomph by starting out at first level, because you only get minimized things like spell slots and proficiencies when you add that second class or third class at when you multi-class. So just kind of think about where you want to start and what's the best way to do that. So yeah, just kind of look at that and be careful when it comes to your spell slots with those half and third casters.
So is this the class that you start with, is that always your primary class?
Yes.
Okay, yep. So even if you have one level of, let's say, Bard, and then you take a weird 180 and you're like, I'm going to be a fighter, and you just, for the rest of the campaign, you level up your fighter and you have a level 1 Bard and a level 19 fighter, your primary class is still going to be Bard?
Yes, because remember, the next time you take a new level, you could choose just to go back to Bard.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my understanding of it, at least. I mean, there might be some people who are like, no, now that you've gone back to Bard and taken another level there, it's like you're multi-classing back to Bard, but I don't think that's how it should be. So yeah, that's kind of, think of it as your main and then secondary classes.
Okay. And then, yeah, so that would, I was curious if any of those kind of like nuances would shift if your primary was like a full casting or a knot or some of those different spell slots or something, if that would shift and then kind of change that whole equation again. But it sounds like that at least stays consistent.
Right. And it does. And then also to help you out with this multi-class spellcaster thing, come back and look at this chart also here on 165. That kind of gives you the progression of how that works, where it's the multi-class spellcaster chart, spell slots per spell level.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Multi-classing. Yeah. It's so fun, but so complicated.
Yeah. It's kind of wild. And I'm not absolutely 100% sure I didn't just mangle it in my description, but I will say this with a giant asterisk, just go read that section, please. And before you send us the evil email saying that I got it wrong, because maybe I did. We'll see.
Well, there's just so many combinations. Like, it's, you know, it's limitless, basically, as to what you could build or how, and like all of how it comes together just changes based off of what you pick. So,
yeah, exactly.
Thanks so much for equipping the compendium. If you like what you heard today, make sure you check out the other mini episodes in this same episode series, or once all the mini episodes have been published, you can listen to the full length episode to hear Jason and I talk about all of these concepts together, as well as a little bit of extra bonus content that's not included in these mini episodes. If you haven't already, make sure that you subscribe to the Compendium podcast so that you're the first to know when a new episode comes out that can help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.